Our filler arc continues.
Mm-hmm.
We get some fights this week. We get Moroku being the most useful he will ever be.
Yeah,
in
no kidding.
Entire series.
And a filler arc.
Then just more stuff happens.
Yep.
That's it. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Jared Now Watch Inuyasha. It's episode 142. I'm Jared, joined as always by Doc Allen, Ladium.
Hello.
We are discussing season 6, episode 1, or episode 139, entitled The Great Duel at Shone Falls, which I don't think really was a great duel at all.
No.
There wasn't really many great duels to be had here.
Not really.
No.
I mean, again, the most useful thing that happened was Moroku being useful.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say the most useful? The most great. There we go. I can word today. The greatest thing that happens is Moroku is useful. There we go.
Yes.
That explains the title.
We begin this episode, and it's just a recap of what happened at the end of last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hoshiomi flies away. He goes to the Furai Shrine. Takes Kagome with him.
My girl.
Everyone else heads there because they're like, we should probably go get her and everything and then, you know, do that thing. But then a barrier repels them at the shrine and they all get scattered and they have to fight one of the demon ninjas each.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. All the demon ninjas are also like named after legendary creatures. If you've played like any mythical
Persona.
Yeah, they're in Persona. They are in Final Fantasy 14 Stormblood.
I think they're in all Final Fantasy, or in many Final Fantasy.
Yeah, games. So like, you know, you've probably seen these names before, like Genbu, Suzaku, Byakko, and Seiryu. You also get, what's her face? Tsukiyomi's in here.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, notable names that you've probably heard of in other media.
So we've got like a turtle, a tiger, a burb, and Snick?
Snick. Yes. So yeah, everyone's got to fight one of them, and they are all doing very poorly against all of them.
That turtle starts humping Inuyasha at one
that
point.
That turtle does start humping Inuyasha at one point. We get Shippo and Akitoki being very homophobic, and
yeah,
Miyoga
that was
as well.
Yikes. Just,
hoofa-doofa.
Definitely showing the age there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was yikes. Again, that voice, it was a choice, but it was also
very deliberate choice.
Early 2000s.
Yeah. Hoshiomi chats with Kagome and just goes over
his
MO
evil plan
of just being like, hey, humans are weak and they'll betray you, so I have to kill all the humans, which I feel like that's already been a thing that some other villains done in this series, and I feel like it was recently as well, so I'm just like, whatever. Who cares? And then he also talks about how, like, there's this painting of Tsukiyomi in the shrine, and he talks about how she betrayed him for some reason, and he doesn't know why, but that means all humans are bad and they will betray you, and that he has to kill them all because that's how he will save all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And Kagome's like, that sounds very dumb.
You're dumb, my guy. Dumb.
But then he takes some of her power, and then she goes nap-nap in the shrine.
And one of the swords is like, neat, I'm powered up.
Yeah, the sword starts vibrating, and then the other sword that's with Akitoki just starts vibrating as well and just yanks him towards the shrine.
Does save him from the waterfall he fell down, though.
It does, yeah.
So that's good.
It yanks him all the way up the waterfall, and then, like, once he's up the waterfall, it just wiggles its way out of, like, the little bag it's in, just goes yoink right to the shrine. It's like, why didn't you just do that in the first place?
Yeah, who knows?
So yeah,
other than to save him.
Yeah, so that happens. Everyone else is still beat up from their fights with the demon ninjas, and then as Inuyasha's getting humped by the turtle, he uses the blades of blood, right?
Yep. Yeah, because we were both talking about like how he keeps trying to attack with sword, and you're like, he could Iron Reaver Soul Stealer. I was like, he could Blades of Blood, and then he eventually uses both of them.
Yes. He hits Byakko with it to stun him a bit, and that gives enough time for Moroku to use the wind tunnel.
Woo! And then he wind tunnels everybody.
And then he tells Sango to hold on to something, and he wind tunnels Seiryu. He moves over to Inuyasha. He wind tunnels Genbu, and then Suzaku's just flying through the air like, no, don't get me as well. But then Suzaku also gets wind tunneled.
Yay!
So, yeah, Moroku finally did something useful with the wind tunnel. He was very helpful. The bees didn't show up. This is a
this is a win for Moroku.
This is perhaps the best episode for Moroku in the entire series. Maybe, like, it's probably this and also confessing his feelings to Sanko.
Yeah, basically.
It's the 1-2 right there. So, yes, Moroku's very helpful, but then the Naginata has been restored. Hoshiomi is now Darth Maul. He's got both sides of it. He's like, I have all the power. Yay. I have Kagome. Yay.
Yay.
I'm going to put myself in a barrier and also make like a black hole to suck y'all up. And we're like, why doesn't Baraka use the wind tunnel here? He's like, well, I can't do it. The barrier. And it's like, brother.
Well, no, he doesn't want to suck up Kagome.
Well, yes, but also because they're in that barrier as well.
Well, that too, yeah.
The Tetsuya is still broken. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do?
Oh no.
Inuyasha is adamant that he will somehow save Kagome. Hoshiomi just laughs, and then that's how we end this episode, as they just stare at each other like, Yep. We got a few notes here.
Okay.
This is one of the few occasions Moroku has been shown to be merciless with who he sucks into the wind tunnel. Suzaku was fleeing for his life and didn't want to fight anymore, but Moroku sucked him in anyway.
Damn.
Goof! In the final shot of the episode, Inuyasha is shown for several frames without Tetsuya before he suddenly appears at his side. Good.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I didn't even think to look at that. That's fun.
That's funny.
Next time, we will be discussing episode 140 entitled Eternal Love, the Naginata of Kenkon.
Final episode of this arc.
Is it?
Yes.
Pretty sure. Hooray, it is.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Hoshiomi's going to think about Tsukiyomi.
Okay.
And then I guess he's going to die, because this is the final episode of this filler arc. So there you go.
Maybe we'll eventually figure out who Kagome is.
Oh, right. Yeah, I guess that's a thing.
Yeah, that's
maybe not. Who knows?
That's still something that we have to clarify, is who is Kagome Tojo.
Yeah. But we'll maybe find out some of that at least next time. But for now, if you'd like more from us, head on over to SeasonalAnimeCheckup.com or SAC.coolest, where you can find past episodes of this podcast and other podcasts like Seasonal Anime Checkup OVA. You can also find columns and reviews on the site as well. If you'd like more from Ann Ladium, go to AnnLadium.com. She's got columns and reviews. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Anime Checkup. But follow us on Blue Sky at SeasonalAnimeCheckup.com. Buy our books, One Shiny Moment, A Critical Analysis of Love, Life, Sunshine, Hot Tubs, and Pac-Man on Amazon.com. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/SACOVA. So join us next time for the end of this filler arc. Hooray!
Yay!